Take a moment here, if you don't mind, Chris.
It's your show, Rich.
I appreciate you saying
that. Yeah, no problem.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Is one of the greatest places I've ever been.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've never seen anything like it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
It is a jewel.
Today's guests.
From Bally Sports, NFL reporter Mike Silver, 7-time Pro Bowl receiver Torrey Holt, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith,
plus your phone calls and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live from Los Angeles, California. I'm your humble host, thrilled to be here, honored that you choose us to hang with at any point in time over the next 3 hours. We hope you stick for all of them here on NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 211, or Odyssey app. We stream coast to coast, so you can take us wherever you want live, and you can also check us out on this terrestrial radio station on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, coast to coast. We appreciate the program director smart enough to make the decision to say, yeah, let's do that. we appreciate 844-204-RICH. Always like talking to folks here on the program. Chris Brockman, good to see you in your position, sir.
What up, my man?
Jay Feller is still sitting in for Mike Del Tufo.
Hey,
good
Rich.
To see you. And my buddy TJ Jefferson over there. Good to see you, TJ.
Are we cool today, Rich?
we're always cool. You and I are always.
Seemed like
always,
we had some beef at the end of the show.
We did. We did have beef at the end of the show yesterday. And
I had no beef. I was like a vegetarian.
We'll revisit because your favorite new quarterback in the NFL, Cooper Rush, is playing football tonight.
Oh, let's go!
Week 9 kicks off tonight. New York Jets just trying to keep following up. The Mike White experience rolls into Indianapolis, where the Indianapolis Colts lost a few days ago in overtime to the Tennessee Titans, with Carson Wentz making one of the worst throws in the history of throws and making throws. We'll see how that goes tonight. And we will discuss it. We will discuss it anytime. It's very rare that I'm on this show on a day the Jets play a nationally televised football game.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I've got some thoughts on what tonight could be.
That'll
be good. And then the reason why I'm also chipper is not only because I don't take for granted these opportunities that we'd have a show like this every single day in a crazy mixed-up world, but to my right, I will turn just 60 minutes from now, and I will look at the empty guest chair that has been so rarely filled because of the pandemic these days. It'll be one of my favorite people smiling back at me, Mr. Torrey Holt. Big game. Torrey Holt will be here in studio.
Big game.
I'm told he's in town because he's going to go to the Rams game Sunday night.
All right.
Makes sense.
The Titans-Rams Sunday night football game, which is the next nationally televised coast-to-coast, nothing else on football-wise, contest of week number 9.
Let's talk
about it. Week 9.
He was once part of a pretty big Ram-Titan game, right?
I do remember that he was part of a big Rams-Titans game. we'll ask him his impression of where he was for all that. Standing on the sideline, I'm sure, just as nervous as a cat. Thinking, did he wind up short? Did Dyson come up short? Or did he get in the end zone? So I got lots of good stories to tell about that one too.
Yeah.
I've already told one of them about Jeff Fisher. I told you guys that one, right? About Jeff Fisher wondering if he'd go for two in that game if he scored.
Right. Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
I'll tell that story later on this hour. Mike Silver's going to be up first in about 16 minutes' time. Michael Smith will join us in hour number 3. He of Brother from Another fame right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. He and Michael Holly chop it up every single day as soon as we're done. We take it from Dan Patrick, hand it off to Michael Smith and Michael Holly. He will help us take us to his show later on in hour number 3. And there's lots to talk about because the NFL story of the day, with all due respect to Thursday Night Football and my Jets and my Colts, those two teams are currently on the outside looking in. They're sniffing it. The Colts are sniffing it. The Jets are hoping to sniff something other than the smell of their own stink from the first few weeks of this season. And last week certainly helped. But we're going to, with all due respect to an actual football game being played on the Triplecast tonight, Amazon Prime, NFL Network, and Fox, the two stories, top stories in the NFL today, are who's at home. And I don't mean the Indianapolis Colts playing a home game. Who's at the crib? Who's at home today? It's Aaron Rodgers and it's Odell Beckham Jr. for two totally different reasons. Once again, we send our best to Aaron Rodgers. This virus is no joke. I will repeat it again. I do wear it on my sleeve because I had it. That was one of the first breakthrough cases I'd ever heard of. One of the first breakthrough cases I ever heard of was the guy I looked at in the mirror in a hotel room for 10 days, staring out the same window, wondering, you know, is it going to get worse? Could it possibly get better? What's it going to feel like? And then I felt it, and it was awful. It was terrible. And I was vaccinated. Aaron is, again, reportedly not. And according to reports that were coming out after we went off the air yesterday from Ian Rappaport, who was kind enough to call into the show yesterday, he apparently tried some holistic, homeopathic methods to get his antibody level up enough for the NFL to consider him vaccinated and for him to consider himself immunized, which is what he called himself when point blank asked in late August if he was vaccinated. And then him appearing in press conferences without a mask. Anybody out there who sees an NFL player in a mask at a post-game press conference should know that that person is not a vaccinated person. You must wear a mask around others, in a room with others, wear a mask, because that is the rule of the NFL, and I never saw Aaron wearing a mask. You see Lamar Jackson wearing a mask coming into the game. You see him standing at a podium in a surgical mask that's probably handed to him. That's the indication. That's also the following of protocols, and it sure looked like, again, these are all what things surmise and what seem and look like. It looks like he was conducting himself in a manner in which a vaccinated player can act like and as allowed through protocols. So when Aaron Rodgers, knock on wood, comes back healthy and stands in front of a microphone, he has got a lot of, what's the words for it, splaining to do. A lot of it. Or he could choose to say nothing, but there's a large cross-section of fan base that roots for him, that would like to get some answers from him as to why he has chosen this manner in a season where the vaccine is available and is absolutely a competitive advantage for a player to take. Without a doubt, it is a competitive advantage, doing everything to win, for a player to take. The science is there. Billions of people around the planet have taken it, and they are not dropping dead. There's a lot of accounting on that front. And we'll see what he says, and we'll see what the NFL says to the Packers. And I'll tell you what, I mean, Aaron was talking about the Packers not backing his play a lot. It sure looked like they were backing his play.
Oh, yeah.
It sure looked like that they were, I don't know, unless they were constantly telling him, you got to put a mask on. But he's also the MVP of the NFL. And again, these are all suppositions. These are all that this appears what it looks like to all of us right now. And certainly with him being out, it's a pretty damn big football game. As we know, you cannot miss your best availability. Your best ability is availability, and he's not available for this week. And I have no idea. You have no idea what the science is. I still have no idea how I caught it. He could have been a breakthrough case anyway, but clearly he's out. And I hope he is better, because this is nasty. And he could come back and this could be a total moot point, because his life is changing right now. To be alarmist, you'd think that's alarmist. It's entirely possible. So I hope he is well. And I look forward to hearing what he's got to say when he comes back. And then there's also the football aspect of everything. You had a fascinating point, Chris, that I want to hit later on. That his career is following a similar path of Brett Favre.
It's really eerie.
Because now Jordan Love's going to get a shot in the game to show to everybody that he shouldn't be just sitting around on the bench in the same way that Aaron Rodgers got that shot in front of my own two eyes on a Saturday night in Dallas, when he was in the midst of his sitting around waiting for Favre to move on, retire.
And that was
his third year, right? Say that again.
And that was his third season. Right.
Look that up. So we'll be working completely from knowledge later on. But that'll be later on in the show. We'll hit that subject matter. And of course, with Michael Smith, we'll hit the subject matter that I'm seeing all the talk shows in our business, or argument shows in our business, debate shows, pardon me, in our business, talk about today that I guess you could, you know, I guess I need to make sure that you understand that you have placed trust and hope in me, and I placed trust and hope in you, TJ, even though yesterday we had words at the end of our show yesterday. But, you know, you have the mind to produce a show like these debate shows, because as soon as this came out yesterday, like, what's the difference between what Rodgers has done, appeared to have done, or what Kyrie Irving did is still doing because of what he didn't do, which is still the ultimate thing, not taking the vaccine for whatever their reason. Mm. I want to hit that with Michael Smith later on.
I used to be a producer, Rich.
You still are, though.
Yeah,
you're a producer.
True.
You're a producer sitting there.
That's,
you know,
that's a good
don't,
point.
I'm just don't let the array of baubles behind you that you have placed there and throw anybody off. You're a lead pipe wielding professional.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
And then there's another player sitting at home today, healthy. Apparently, ready to practice. With his teammates in advance for what, you know what, is a pretty big football game this weekend?
What's that, Rich?
The Bengals coming off of a loss to the Jets. To the one-loss Jets, to Mike White lighting up the Bengals defense in a manner that Lamar Jackson could not. Following up their beatdown of the Ravens. Their apparent placing of a calling card onto the AFC desk in 2021 to say, we are here. We are 2-0 in division on the road. We've beaten the Steelers and Ravens already. We are the Bengals. We're the one seed coming into week 8, and then they lose to the Jets in New York, New Jersey, and Mike White throws 400 yards against them. They're following that up against a Browns team. Against a Browns team that just played 3 straight home games. And lost 2 of them in a row. And the other one was against the Denver Broncos team on a short week that Case Keenum took care of business. And that Browns team is now 4-4, huh? And that Browns team is going on the road to Cincinnati in the Battle of Ohio. A division battle. Cincinnati's first at home. That's a pretty damn big football game. And the guy who's not going to be out there is number 13 in your program, number 1 in many people in LeBron's heart,
and his dad's
heart, and many, yeah. And many people. Apparently, his teammates' heart too. His teammates' heart. Odell Beckham Jr. is sitting at home saying, "I want to come to practice." And for the second straight day, the Browns said, "Stay home." What the hell is going on there? What has happened? Because if it was such a fissure, if it was such a problem. Right. And the Browns want to make sure that if he is now released, because it is such a problem, that they want to make sure that he doesn't go to a spot that comes back to bite them, then they should have traded him to the spot that would not come back to bite him and them. That's what they should have done. On the trade deadline Tuesday, because if this is this whole thing born out of Odell's dad putting out an 11-minute long video of the number of times that Odell was open and didn't get the ball, like I told you yesterday, and like I heard Ross Tucker say on Dan Patrick's show as I was driving in, because I listen to DP on the way in whenever I can, and I heard that he basically said any receiver can put a video together like that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, any receiver. Michael Irvin could have put a video together like that for him and Aikman. Number of times that Aikman's told us on this show that Irv comes back in and says, "Hey, I'm open." I mean, that's I've heard that story a million times. Receivers always think they're open. They're 7-11. So, I mean, if that really is the cause of the break and that they couldn't handle it, or that's just indicative of what's going on behind the scenes, then trade him. Trade him. Eat the salary. You don't want to do that, I guess, but eat it. At some point, as Mike Tomlin said, you want volunteers, not hostages. They got Melvin Ingram out of there.
Great quote.
At some point, the addition is by subtraction, and the subtraction in your bank account shouldn't trump the addition by subtraction of the trade. I don't know what the hell happened there. I don't know what the hell happened then or now. Because he's sitting at home. I think that's ridiculous. If by all reports, and our guest Mike Silver is about to join us from Bally Sports, he says that his reporting, and he knows people in that Cleveland building, even with Hugh Jackson gone, he's locked in there. And he knows people in that building, and his people are telling him, guy hasn't done anything.
Right.
Like, that I know of. He's not storming through the place and making things uncomfortable. If the video makes people uncomfortable, then sit down like grown men and work it out. Certainly if he's going to be sitting at home, healthy. And this team's going into Cincinnati, man. This is a big game. What if the Bengals win this one? They're 3-0 in division. And you've already lost to the Steelers at home. You're going to even follow it up with a loss to the Bengals on the road. You'll have lost three in a row. You're under 500. The Bengals are taking a step forward. Ravens are coming off their bye. Steelers are on Monday Night Football against a Bears team that they should slap around. You're telling me 13's better at home than 13 in the jungle this Sunday. Why? What's going on? Let's get some answers from Mike Silver. There's you too at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Always love chatting with you folks. Some other items to hit on this show today. Von Miller has spoken.
All right.
He has spoken as a member of the Los Angeles Rams. It was great to have Les Snead on this show yesterday. The Rams GM gave us a heck of a roadmap as to how he acquired Von Miller, was able to get Von. The same line as Aaron Donald. I mean, I can't help but laugh every single time I just say those words out loud. Also on this program, Derek Carr, his words yesterday with his teammate Henry Ruggs now behind bars because of the worst decision and mistake he's made in his life, at the life of his fiance who is driving shotgun. She's apparently, you know, hospitalized. And then, of course, the woman in Las Vegas who, along with her dog, died in that accident because Henry Ruggs smashed into the car at the rate of 150 some odd miles an hour. Oof. At 3:40 in the morning. What Derek Carr has had to say just only bolsters my opinion of him, and also my opinion of him as a most valuable player for this Raiders team and in that locker room. So that's what's up here on this Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. So much to talk about. And again, with you, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. We're back with Mike Silver, who can try and make heads or tails of what's going on in Cleveland. He's also, you know, somebody who's been covering Aaron Rodgers for years. Don't move. We're off and running on a Thursday. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores, or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
On the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, for all of you folks, we just spent the 3 minutes in our Peacock segment playing a video from 3 years ago when at the first bloom of the show, now hit show, and award-nominated show, Cobra Kai. Ralph Macchio is here. We just played that because it's his 60th birthday today.
60?
Stop.
The
it.
Young man from The Karate Kid. The Karate Kid is now the Karate AARP cardholder.
Karate Geezer.
The Karate Geezer. Well done.
The Karate Grandpa.
He's not a 60s young man. As a 52-year-old man, I will say that.
Yeah, but he looks like he's 35.
Oh, by the way, it's Mooch's birthday today. He is 93 years old, Mooch. Mooch is turning 93.
Today is Mooch's birthday?
It is. Yep.
Happy birthday, Mooch.
844-204-RICH is the number.
Mooch
to
is 66.
Actually, flip it over. He's 99. is our next guest on the phone line, Chris?
Yes.
My buddy from way back in the day, for many years at the NFL Media Group, now with Bally Sports. He does a beautiful podcast with his daughter called the Pass It Down Podcast. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show, my friend Michael Silver. How are you, Michael?
Great, Rich. How are you?
Hanging in there. Let's get right into this with both feet, since you were the one to essentially break yesterday that Odell was not there because the team was told by the Browns he's essentially no longer part of the team, and now it's another day of stay at home. What is happening with Odell in Cleveland, best you can tell?
Well, Rich, it's a weird stare down because the trade deadline is over. So people keep saying, well, they're negotiating with Odell. Not sure what there is to negotiate. They could have traded him before the deadline, probably could have gotten maybe a sixth-round pick and figured out who paid what of this year's salary. But they let that deadline lapse. And, you know, from what I have been told by players and coaches, Rich, he has not acted out overtly. There is not an incident that we don't know about that's public in that facility where he did something. Obviously, his father had the social media post. LeBron James had the social media post. And there may be something going on behind the scenes that maybe just occurred between him and Kevin Stefanski or him and Andrew Berry. But if so, I don't know what that is. But clearly, Kevin Stefanski and the Browns seem to have decided we can't have this, enough of this. But, you know, you can't really do the old John Gruden Keyshawn thing from back in the day in Tampa for old people like us who remember, where they got into a place where John Gruden was basically like, go away and you're just not going to be part of the team this year. You'll get your money, but you're gone. You can't really do that anymore under the current CBA. So unless they can figure out a way to suspend him for conduct detrimental to the team, they kind of have to make a decision. And that's why I'm not sure what they're negotiating. It seems like he's going to get released.
So that's the whole sense of things when somebody's excused from absence. An excused absence. You're excused from practice. You may stay home. It connotes that the player has done something. You're saying that the player has done nothing.
Well, I don't know if the player has done something. The players and coaches I talked to didn't know of anything he had done other than, you know, his father posting very obsequiously on social media that he thinks the quarterback sucks. And, you know, unless they're keeping him away and saying, you can come back if you come, you know, eat it and apologize and do this and that, which I don't know that either. This is just me, you know, wondering. But Kevin Stefanski took a pretty extraordinary step. He gathered the team together yesterday and said, basically, Odell's not on our team anymore. And, you know, he's not here today. We sent him home. And let's proceed accordingly. So I don't see, you know, the likelihood of a solution where he's back there, you know, given that statement.
Michael Silver, Bally Sports here on the Rich Eisen Show. So is this a situation where they don't want him to get hurt and then they're on the hook for all of this money and they've decided he's not on the team anymore and Odell's just got to sit at home? I mean, I don't understand
yeah,
that. Like, or they're gonna say that his shoulder is hurt so bad he's now put on IR and come with your grievance. Is that literally what they might actually do too? Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could try to do that and then, you know, let him file a grievance. But you're technically not allowed to do that. Now the Texans and Deshaun Watson are essentially doing that, but it's with the players. Cooperation, right? He's like, cool, pay me. I don't want to play for you. I don't want to practice. If Deshaun Watson shows up today and is like, hey, man, I'm healthy. I'm your fourth string quarterback or whatever you say I am. I want some reps. Then they, you know, that's at a crossroads too. But, you know, it sounds like Odell showed up for practice and was like, all right, I'm here. And they decided not to. But yeah, to me, it's not just, oh, we don't want him to get hurt, because he has no value to them anymore. They don't want him to play for them, and they didn't trade him. So I don't, you know, yeah, you'd be on the hook for the money, but I think you're going to have to release him and be on the hook for the money anyway. So maybe they're trying to get him to agree to not join a certain team. Or, you know, I'll try to find out in these coming hours and days. I don't understand what there is to negotiate. It seems to me like they missed their window, which was the trade deadline, to get anything. And now, if they don't want him, they probably have to cut him and soon.
Last one for you on this. What's your sense that of what Baker feels about all this, his sense of everything and the relationship between them on the football field, what we do see on film that hasn't been edited by Odell's dad, you know, like what do you think is going on there?
Well, I mean, it's funny because, you know, these are human beings, and I think fans tend to, even when they're dealing with human things, you know, turn them into caricatures. I mean, you know, I put a joking tweet out about the Dolphins, Chris Greer, the general manager's statement about Tua yesterday, which is, no, he's our guy. We were just looking around, and I said, you know, try that with your spouse, which is not an original thought, but it applied here. And then you had the literal police saying, you know, oh, this is nothing like a marriage. And it's like, yeah, but I still would argue that, you know, human beings who have a job and are proud and trying to perform it every day, when they know their bosses are clearly trying to replace them with someone they think is better, that's something you have to deal with. It's not insurmountable, but it's a thing. So, yeah, it's a thing when Baker Mayfield, who's trying to win games and is kind of struggling and has a, you know, contract extension on the line and his future, has a high-profile guy who has Odell Beckham Sr. posting something that sure seems to be an attack, and, you know, Odell's not calling him right away, Junior, saying, man, my dad's crazy, that's horrible, I just cut him out of my family, or whatever you would say. So, yeah, it's a thing. Now, you know, they seem to have bigger problems than that. I've talked to people inside that building. One person told me, I'm close with both of them, you know, very close with both of them, and this didn't have to happen. I hate that it's happened, and I'm kind of struggling with the fact that there's this much of a disconnect. And, you know, it does seem to be largely about football. Odell is a proud guy who, like many receivers, wants the ball and thinks he's open and thinks he can help the team that way. And, you know, Baker, I'm sure, would tell you, I'm trying to run the offense for everyone and do my job the best I can. And I don't know the football side of it, you know, this year enough to, in that building, to understand whose side I should take. But I do know that it's got to be affecting Baker on a human level.
So let me pull on that strand a little bit more. Said it didn't have to happen. What's the posting of the video this week? That
I think Well, this was a coach who said that, and I think what didn't have to happen was Kevin Stefanski getting to the point where he told team at a meeting he's not on the team anymore. That's what I was referring to.
Wow, man. It is just remarkable because normally, again, something like this happens. There's a blow up. There's this. Somebody said that. And either that's not getting out or it's just, as you're saying, it didn't happen.
Funny. Someone referenced 1996, which I have a very intimate familiarity with. Andre Rison had been in Jacksonville, and he and Tom Coughlin butted heads over, not football, over some managerial type thing, who was the alpha. I remember because Andre told me the entire story at a Green Bay quote club, which is really a bar, one night in 1996 after he'd been cut and arrived in Green Bay, and told me a very detailed story, which is one of my favorites ever, and it was later corroborated by multiple witnesses. But he got cut. The Packers, who were trying to get to a Super Bowl and had receiver injuries, signed him, and he ended up being a huge player for them, en route to a championship. So, if Odell Beckham is waived, then people can put in waiver claims. He doesn't get to choose his own team. But if he clears waivers or, nobody decides to claim that contract, watch out. He might be able to pick his team, and we may see him in February.
Yeah, I know. Certainly if he plays for, say, Baltimore, he might wind up in Cleveland again.
Yeah.
But wearing purple. And that's probably that's exactly what I think this is about, to be honest with you, Michael, at this point, now that he's at home.
I'm sure it is. I just don't know that they lost their right to determine that this season by the trade deadline passing. So that's why I'm confused by the time.
Mike Silver here on the Rich Eisen Show. So I'll give you the floor on Aaron Rodgers, I guess, to borrow a phrase of yours that you once uttered famously, the lip reader standing next to Aaron, WTF, Mike. What do you think? What's your thoughts on this subject?
Well, okay, first of all, I would urge people to follow the science and do what's best for your community, and I'm certainly vaccinated, and I don't have a chip in my ear. I have a much better chance of surviving COVID. And I, as I have trusted experts since before I could formulate a coherent thought, when I took all those vaccines as an infant, that have helped me stay healthy, that's where I stand on it. I tweeted in late August, when he said the thing about, I'm immunized, I said, is being immunized the same as being vaccinated? Because it felt weird to me, his phrasing. And I know he's a smart guy who phrases things, who knows what he's saying. Now, if you go back and look at the statement, it wasn't just the word. He clearly was giving the impression, in my opinion, I took care of that. And so, I think journalists were maybe too quick without a follow-up to say he's been vaccinated. But I also think Aaron wanted to give that impression. The NFL and the NFLPA negotiated rules that were very clear for people who aren't vaccinated and, with health and safety in mind. But also, I think, wanting to make it clear that if you're going to go this route, you're going to have some conditions placed on you that people who go the scientifically sound route don't. And he didn't seem to, in front of us, follow those rules. So that's an issue too. But, I guess I would say, first of all, I haven't heard back from Aaron. I hope he's okay. It's a
correct
crazy, lousy, horrible thing that is many lives.
I know.
So I didn't want to, I know a lot of people were immediately like, he's a liar. I can't believe he did this to his team. The Packers should be in trouble. Like, it's fair to talk about all of that. And we're going through this as a nation and a world, and it sucks. And everybody has a right to feel strongly about it. But, I guess let's first, hopefully he's okay and comes back strong. And we can all debate this the way we should.
No, I agree with you on that. I, 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 and You know, it stinks that he's out of such a big game like this, and it stinks that he's got it. And, you know, if he was vaccinated, you know, he'd have a shot to play this week, even though I've yet to hear somebody who was vaccinated who did test positive that suddenly got two negatives in a row.
Right.
You know, but put it all together, though, the thing that I'm looking about over the steering wheel is how the reaction from the Packers and how it got out that he did stuff holistically and things like that. Like, where did and how Aaron's going to probably take all that, you know? I'm looking into the future, yeah, and wondering if we're going to start, because he was telling me when he came on the show earlier this season about a month ago about trust and hope, and he trusts and puts his hope in the Packers, and things were going so well. I mean, he was the owner of the Bears and the general manager of the Packers all at once in a couple straight weeks, you know. So how do you think he's going to take all this, you know, assuming he gets back healthy, as we all hope he does? What do you think?
He's been a decent GM, by the way, because, you know, the Randall Cobb signing or trade, which everyone laughed at, he's made some pretty big catches. You know, I like the aggressiveness. Jalen Smith didn't work out. They signed Merciless. I mean, keep it coming. I wish they had taken a swing at the trading deadline. Yeah, no, it's a fair point, Rich. They were in such a bad place, and
I'm wondering if they're going to be back in that same place again. Like, it comes the holistic medicine, and he's trying to make that something similar to actual vaccination, which he calls immunization. And, you know, we all understand he was playing with words there. You know,
it's not their fault, though. I mean, I hope he, you know, you could, I, you know, I'm on his side when it comes to a lot of the disconnect between him and the front office over the years. And I just, you know, this is not the Packers' fault. This is a, you know, he
made his own bed. Yep. I got you.
He made a decision. They didn't overtly call attention to it. And if anything, they helped him, you know, act as though he was vaccinated, from what I could tell. And, you know, even Matt LaFleur now is certainly who, you know, has a great relationship with Aaron, but he's not trying to throw him under the bus. I mean, Mike Zimmer got upset. Ron Rivera got upset. We've seen coaches get upset and frustrated when people won't get vaccinated. They don't seem to be doing that. But I think you're right. I think, you know, the way they're behaving and will behave speaks to that sensitivity. And so probably they will, you know, just be kind of, you know, they'll just throw up their hands and take their punishment from the league. But I don't think you're going to see them, you know, make a strong statement about how, you know, people need to follow protocols. It's really important.
Michael Silver here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then lastly, what did happen, best you can tell, with Deshaun Watson not going to Miami and Stephen Ross actually still meeting with Deshaun Watson? You made mention earlier in this about Chris Greer, the general manager of the Dolphins, statement of everybody putting the Humpty Dumpty Tua back together again right here, with everybody sitting and thinking they're going to just be playing out a string to try and get to another crack at Watson. Right.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly not all in with Tua. And listen, you know, as with Trubisky, right, who came in the same draft as Mahomes and Watson and actually went way before them, you know, I mean, Tua came after Burrow. Okay, well, Burrow went one, but he's been really, really good. And he came right before Herbert, and you just can't ignore it. I mean, the guy's been, you know, from the start, has been, you know, a potential superstar. And so, yeah, they're not all in with him by any means, and I don't think that changes. As far as Watson, I mean, to me it was always complicated. I'd read these reports where it said, well, the Texans, anything less than 3-1s is a deal breaker. And I'm like, yeah, you might be, you know, not understanding your leverage, guys, with all due respect. Like, I mean, now, don't get me started on that dumpster fire of an organization, which, by the way, my first story for Bally Sports was about Chair Cal McNair dropping a little China virus comment into the public realm back in May, you know, and sneering afterwards. So you've got him, you've got Jack Easterby, you've got when Tyrod Taylor is out, you've got one of the worst football teams I've ever seen in my life taking the field, although they play the Dolphins on Sunday, so that'll be a test. And so, you know, look, it's a messy, complicated situation, and it's a lot of compensation. The owner has to be willing to handle that stuff in the community, because there's some pretty, you know, creepy allegations. You've got the outstanding lawsuits. You've got the threat of criminal prosecution. And then you've also got the league possibly suspending him or putting him on the commissioner's exempt list. So to me, why didn't it get done? Because if you're going to give up all that, you want some degree of belief that the mess is getting cleaned up. And I guess they wanted him to settle all the civil lawsuits, which is probably tricky, and that didn't happen. So to me, that's probably why, that and a combination of the Texans being like, look, man, we don't care about all that stuff. He's Deshaun Watson. If you want him, you got to pay. And it never made sense to me that a team would give up all that for a guy in that situation.
Michael Silver, Bally Sports, the Pass It Down podcast with your daughter. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks a lot, Rich.
You bet. That's Mike Silver right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So those are all the top stories in the NFL. And then another one from this week we didn't hit with Mike is the trade that did happen. Von Miller is now a Los Angeles Ram. He was introduced as such. And then we've got one of the greatest Rams of all time physically here to chat with us at the top of the next hour. We'll hear from Von coming up next. And then Torrey Holt in studio. And then you, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Do not go anywhere. We're still right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on a busy Thursday. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Our radio, terrestrial radio audience, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. So, and we'll take your phone calls. Do us a favor. Hang on and listen to what Tori's about to say when he joins us here. And I'm sure he, just like every other Rams alum, including Pro Football Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson yesterday, and Tori should be in the Hall of Fame. I'll say this. I won't embarrass him when he's out here, because guys who are not in the Hall of Fame and deserve to be in the Hall of Fame do not wish to talk about Fight Club. But Torrey, 13,382 receiving yards. That's good for 16th all-time. 920 receptions, 21st all-time. 74 touchdowns. I mean, and you just take a look at the all-time list, and people right above him, people below him, are all in the Hall of Fame already. So he's got the credentials. And hopefully he will get in sooner rather than later. But he and the rest of the Rams alumni and everybody who roots for the Rams and anybody who's on the Rams, anybody who's like, you know, I'm sure wherever an actual Ram is,
the animal?
The actual animal, yeah, okay, is just like walking around like, why do I feel so good today? You know, it's because Von Miller is a Ram. Honestly, if you're at a zoo, if you're
like
at a zoo,
on the top of some mountain somewhere,
right,
there's just a ram hanging
just
out.
Just like, why? Like, said, no, like today's
climbing, trying to get some.
Why do I feel so
feeling
good?
Myself, yeah, right now?
Why do I feel so good? Hey. Why does this grass that I'm tasting just taste so good today? Everything feels so good. Like, air so fresh.
It sees another ram and it doesn't want to bang heads. It just wants to like give a nod.
Just
like,
to give a nod. Yeah, we're good. Hey, we're good. We're good. How good are we?
What up,
yeah,
though?
Les Snead got us. Von Miller. Here was Von yesterday. Von's feeling good. Here was Von yesterday.
I've been saying it kind of felt like a,
removing a splinter. You know, at first it hurts. You know, it hurts bad. You know, I've been there for 11 years. I don't know anything else. You know, I was a Denver Bronco. You know, they told me that I was getting traded to the Rams. Hurt said all my goodbyes and, you know, looking at my house and looking at all the memories that I had there throughout, you know, 11 years. It was tough. You know, when I took off Tuesday morning, though, you know, I had a nice view of the mountains and I told myself, okay, taking off, you know, Denver Bronco, when I land, you know, I'm a Los Angeles Ram. And I landed at the camera crew out there. It was a warm welcome. You know, went straight to get the physical, came here to the facility, started meeting players. And, it's starting to feel good. It's starting to feel real good. If you look at all the talent that we have. You know, I went to sleep 4-4 and woke up 7-1. You know, it's not, you know, it's not, you know, on the back end of things, you know, it's not really that bad. And, you know, it's better for me. It's better for the organization. And you just got to, you know, let reality seek in. And, I get to play with, you know, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and Leonard Floyd and, you know, Matthew Stafford and this solid offensive line. And they got a solid team. And, you know, the Denver Broncos, they're still building. You know, there's still family and stuff, but this team's ready to win right now, ready to win championships right now, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Damn straight they are. Cooper Kupp named the Offensive Player of the Month for a second straight month.
Again?
September Cooper Kupp, October Cooper Kupp.
Oh, man.
They are ready to win right now. Just a couple things. Number one, observations, because what's to talk about football? Yeah, this is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill, you're first up, and you don't even have Derrick Henry to try and keep him off balance this Sunday night. So two things. Number one, do we tell Vaughn about our feelings of the word solid? That is not an acceptable adjective. Solid is what you say to somebody, you know, it's solid. There are better ones. Like, this is amazing. This is unprecedented. This is exciting.
Right.
Solid is just, anybody who tells me, you know, that's solid. Good, solid idea. It's like, there are more appropriate adjectives to express excitement. You know what I'm saying?
I know
you use the word solid all the time, TJ,
yeah,
and I don't like it.
I've tried to switch my solid around to your way of solid, but
I don't understand that. People say, hey, man, your show, you got a solid show. And I'm like, I don't take that as a
solid
compliment.
Show.
It's more than solid. It's Emmy nominated.
We should be Emmy award winning, damn it.
Like, that's the way I feel. I don't mean to be aggressive.
The Price is Right's going to take care of that for us this year.
Okay. You think that we're going to get nominated and win because of our segment of watching you...
Well, either
go
that,
double over
either that
live.
Or The Price is Right itself is going to win, and I'm going to take credit for it because on it.
Yes.
So either way.
Because when you went out and didn't and only got a popcorn maker and blew the car and then were part of a double over, you were just like Cam Newton. You were iconic and entertaining. Don't let anybody tell you any different.
And I won't.
Okay.
I won't.
And then the other thing, too, is and you know how I feel about the Rams organization, too, right? I mean.
Yeah, you flown on the team plane.
Not just that, but I mean, I was there, thank goodness, and I appreciate it, their choice to MC the opener in SoFi to, you know, thank the workers, the construction workers, and all the people in Los Angeles who are helping keep everybody safe, the frontline workers. I was the MC choice. So I say this with all due respect.
Uh-oh.
Put it up. I know he's new, but can we attach the zero on his practice jersey a little better than this is Von Miller? It's coming off.
He's wearing
number 40 because Justin Hollins is 58. Right. So, I mean,
he's 40 also Von's college number.
Okay, very good. I get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, can we place the iron on top of the zero a little bit better?
It's coming off. It was a rush job, Rich.
It's just like, hey, what do you want, 40? I don't know. We have a 40. There's literally somebody out there with an iron with his practice jersey. It's mesh. It doesn't stick very well.
Not ready.
The Rams equipment people are.
It's Von Miller.
As much in shock about the trade as the rest of us.
Do you think they noticed? They're just watching
They need to. Just two of my observations. First blush. Come on.
Oh, I'm fired.